Have you guys checked out Make Crate yet? I hope you've been able to do that. We are so thankful to Make Crate for sponsoring our transcripts for the past several months. They've been a huge blessing to us, and they are a great resource for homeschool families. If you're looking for fun and interactive STEM projects for your homeschool family, please visit makecrate.club/SR. Make Crate provides electronics and programming kits on subscription, and you don't have to have any expertise in this area. We love our Make Crate. Our family has really enjoyed this, and we would love for you to enjoy it as well. Check them out at makecrate.club/SR and make sure to thank them for this week's transcript. Hey everyone, as you know, we've been on the road this summer filming for Schoolhouse Rocked, so we hope that you will enjoy this rebroadcast of this interview I did with Ginger Hubbard. And if you've already heard it, be sure to share it with a friend. I am so excited about our guest today. To some of you, she needs no introduction, and to some of you, you may not know who she is, especially some of you younger mamas. Maybe you've not yet heard of Ginger Hubbard, but for those of us who have been around for a little while, we are familiar with Ginger Hubbard because she, years ago, well, she's written several books, but years ago, the one that I was most familiar with was called Don't Make Me Count to Three. And I started reading that book when my oldest daughter was a baby, and it was such a powerful book, had a huge impact in my life and in my parenting. And so ever since then, I've been kind of stalking Ginger, and God saw fit to introduce the two of us back. And I think it was November, right, Ginger, that we met?
I think so.
Yeah. And we became fast friends, and God has just been so faithful to develop this friendship. And I have loved getting to know you, Ginger, and your family. Tell the listeners, for those who don't know you, tell them quickly about you and your family.
Well, I am married to, my claim to fame is I'm married to Ronnie Hubbard, who is the absolute greatest guy in the world. We've been married for 7 years and got married on April 23rd, which was Easter weekend. Mm. And it was just such a sweet, sweet weekend. And Ronnie came as a package deal with two stepsons, Hudson and Jackson. And so between the two of us, we have four kids.
That's awesome. And your kids are pretty amazing. And they're now all adults, right?
They are. Wesley is 25. Alex is 22. And then my stepsons, Hudson is 21. And Jackson, our youngest, is 18. He just graduated high school.
That's awesome. So you've been around. You've done the parenting thing. You're one who can actually speak from experience. It's not just this, I'm testing this out and let's see how it works.
Right. Well, yeah, but I still would say I didn't always get it right. And looking back, I can certainly share some of the mistakes I made to help those moms out there not make some of the same ones that I did.
Sure. Well, I love that. And I love, one of the things I love about you is that you're so transparent and so honest, just about where you've been and about what God has done in your life through your desire to follow Him. Through parenting and through marriage and through family. You know, like I said, you wrote Don't Make Me Count to Three. You have Wise Words for Moms. That's a pamphlet that I had up in my kitchen for many, many years. And we'll link back to those things in the podcast notes. But we also are so excited about your new book that you have. It just came out in April, correct?
Right.
And this book is called I Can't Believe You Just Said That, Biblical Wisdom for Taming Your Child's Tongue. And I love this book so, so much. God has given you a gift. He has given you the gift of wisdom and the gift of being able to just be that Titus II woman. And this is why I stalked you for so many years, is without you even knowing me, you were one of those Titus II women to me, where I just felt like God had just blessed you with the wisdom of training the heart of your child, because it's not, and we'll talk about this, but it's not just about obedience. It's not just about teaching your kids to do or say the right thing. It's really about getting to the heart of your child. So tell me a little bit about your new book. I Can't Believe You Just Said That. What led you to write that book, and give me kind of the premise of it?
Well, as a national speaker, Yvette, I have listened to parents all over the country express their heartache over their inability to tame the tongues of their children. Mm-hmm. And they've read the books, they've tried the advice, but they just still remained frustrated because nothing seemed to work. And so what I wanted to do with this new book, I Can't Believe You Just Said That, is I wanted to just expose some of those faulty child training methods which fail to reach the heart, and equip parents with biblical principles and then provide them with a toolbox full of illustrations and examples for implementing those principles in a very practical way. And, you know, don't get me wrong, you and I, before we started recording, we're talking about shepherding a child's heart, and there's some really, really great parenting books out there. That was actually my personal favorite as well, out of all the ones that I read. Just so thankful for Ted Tripp and the wisdom that he shares. And, you know, so I've read lots of parenting books, and plenty of books are out there that focus on what the Bible says about parenting. And that's great, but and they're just full of scripture that are helpful for parenting. But what I found is that few offer the information that parents need most, which is how to actually practically apply those scriptures to those tongue-related struggles that their children are facing in everyday life.
I love that. And yes, you give such practical things for parents to do. One of the things that you talk about in Don't Make Me Count to Three, and we have used this with our kids for their whole lives, basically, is do-overs, where, you know, maybe my daughter speaks to me disrespectfully, and instead of just saying, "Don't talk to me like that," I will say, "You know, honey, that is not the correct way to speak to me. How should you have spoken to me?" But before I would even say, "How should you have spoken to me?" for the past 12 years, I've taught her, you know, when you respond to me, you need to respond this way. And I teach her, this is how you're to respond. And it's with, I mean, it can be with anything. You know, if your 2-year-old is throwing a tantrum because their toy isn't being put together the right way, you know, you can take the time to say, "Okay, honey, let's do this the right way. Let mommy show you how to put the toy together so that you don't throw a tantrum." And then the next time they throw a tantrum, you can say, "Okay, how did mommy teach you to do this last time? What is the correct response?" And teaching kids and training them to do things over the right way. Because I think as parents, we assume that kids are going to just know the right way to do things. And I love that I learned that from you early on, of don't just assume that they know how to do it the right way, or that they know how to respond the right way the first time. You have to teach them first and then train them by teaching them to do it over and over and over again until hopefully some point they actually get it.
Right, right. And that's what I refer to as the practice principle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, imagine, Yvette, trying to teach your child how to tie his shoes without the practice principle.
Right.
Just verbally walking him through that process, that's not going to be enough. At some point, you would have to physically demonstrate how to do it. And then not only that, then require him to practice it on his own. And so the way that I look at it is, if the practice principle is vital for teaching such morally neutral task as tying shoes, how much more important is it for training children in Christ-like character?
Right.
And
right.
So that's what we're going to do. We always want to require them to practice that biblical alternative to the wrong behavior, because it is never enough to just verbally instruct our children in what not to do. We have to instruct them in what to do. We have to teach them how to replace wrong behavior with right behavior. And then, most important, we want to require them to actually go back and do it. So you brought up the thing about children speaking disrespectfully. That's pretty much across the board with, you know, younger kids, and certainly as they grow a little older. And so many parents, when their children speak disrespectfully, you know, they'll say something like, "That was disrespectful. You shouldn't speak to me like that. Now go to your room." But you and I know that is ineffective child training, because that most important part is left out. We shouldn't just rebuke and discipline the child who is speaking disrespectfully. We need to have him come back and practice the biblical alternative by communicating the right way, using the appropriate words and the appropriate tone of voice. And for many kids, particularly mine, as they grew into their teen years, the appropriate facial expression.
Oh, yes. Oh, the faces.
The face.
The role. Yeah. Of the eyes.
Right, right. But when we train our children in what's right and require them to practice what is right, we're teaching them how to grow in wisdom, and we're preparing them to govern their own actions in the future.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, as you think through scripture, all throughout scripture, God does that with us. He doesn't just say to us, "Obey me." He doesn't just say, "Don't sin." He gives us very specific instructions on, this is what I expect of you. This is how you will be wise. This is how you will have blessings in your life. And when you choose to obey me, you will have blessings. And he doesn't just expect us to know exactly. I mean, of course, we have a God consciousness, and we get that. But God is not void in his word of teaching us what he expects of us. It's very clear in scripture. And so I love that we get to do that in turn to our kids and show them this is what God expects of you.
Mm-hmm. Right. He has provided us with everything that we need for life and godliness. We just need to go to his word, and there it is. And, you know, that's one thing that I would tell my kids is you just said that it goes well with us when we obey mm-hmm. God. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not going to be trials and tribulations, sure. but certainly when our children choose to obey us, ultimately they are obeying God because God has called children to obey their parents. And he says that when they do, that it will go well with them. Doesn't mean that they're not going to have trials, but it means that they are under that protective covering of being in the will of God when they obey their parents. And so it's important that we help them understand that.
Right. Absolutely. Ephesians 6, you know, it talks about that. And, you know, God is a faithful God. We tell our girls all the time, sin causes pain, but obedience brings blessings. Sin causes pain, but obedience brings blessings. And
that's right.
You know, we so desperately want our girls to grow up and like you know, having a life of blessings. But like you said, that doesn't mean that they're going to not have pain in their life, but it is a different kind of pain. If you have pain in your life because you've made poor choices and you have not sought God's wisdom, that's a different kind of pain than the pain that just comes because we live in a sinful, fallen world.
Right. That's right. Yeah. And so those are the things that we want to show them that no matter, and even when we do blow it and there are consequences for our sin, we can still, there's blessing in being able to go to God and ask for forgiveness and repent and turn away from that. And God can even use those times to show us new things that he's doing in our life and equip us to share those things with other people.
Yes. So in the book, and I can't believe you just said that, your new book, each chapter talks about a different verbal offense. Walk me through a few of those. And you also in there, you offer a simple 3-step plan for dealing with each one. Tell me a little bit about those verbal offenses and then your plan to help parents learn how to deal with that.
Yeah, what I did in the book is I have broken just common tongue-related struggles down into chapters that all kids are going to struggle with at some time or another. And just some of those different chapters and topics are like whining and lying and tattling, defying, manipulating, interrupting, complaining, blame-shifting, teasing, aggravating, bragging, arguing, yelling, gossiping, bickering. It's everything that I could think of as far as those tongue-related offenses. And certainly, you know, kids are not going to struggle with every one of those.
Sure.
But you know, at some time or another, they may struggle with several. And so what I wanted to do is to take each one of those tongue-related offenses and then break down each chapter into a 3-step plan that would help parents deal with those issues from a heart-oriented biblical standpoint, rather than just that outward behavior, really learning how to get to the heart of the matter. And then when we do that, we're able to address it in biblical ways. And so each chapter opens with a very common, relatable scenario in accordance with that particular struggle. I've had so many parents at my conferences and through emails come up and say, oh, that chapter that you did on whining, that opening scenario, you were totally in my house last week. And so it's just very relatable scenarios. And then the 3-step plan. Step one is heart-probing questions. You know, if you think about it, in all the stories in Scripture, when someone did something wrong, Jesus, what he did not do is wave his finger in their face and say, this is what you did wrong, and right. this is what you should have done instead. In all those stories, Jesus often used heart-probing questions. And in order for the people to answer those questions, they had to evaluate themselves. Because Jesus knew how to ask those questions in such a way that the people would have to take their focus off of the circumstances and the situations around them and onto that sin in their own heart. So for each verbal offense, I offer 2 or 3 very simple questions just to help parents get going in the right direction and help them to reach past that outward behavior and really pull out what is going on in the heart. Because if we know if we can get to the heart, well, then the behavior is going to take care of itself.
Sure.
So that's step one is the heart probing questions. And then step 2 and step 3 are based on the Ephesians verse that says that we are to put off our old self and put on our new self. And so step two is what to put off, what God's word says about that particular behavior and what it can lead to if it's continued. And then step three is what to put on, how to replace what is wrong with what is right.
Okay, so let's take it one step further. Could I give you one of these situations? And can you walk me through what it would look like for a child who is struggling with this specific thing?
Right.
I'm looking through the chapters, interrupting keeps coming up because, you know, though my girls deal with some of these other things, I have a 7-year-old who loves to talk. God has given her the gift of gab and she loves to be the center of attention, and she is super cute. And so people always think she's cute and funny. But she is an interrupter, and we've really been trying to work on this with her. So you and I are having a conversation and she walks up and she, you know, says to me, you know, mommy, did you see blah, 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 blah. Tell me then, what do I do?
Well, first, we ourselves want to understand what is at the heart of that. Before we get into the how to instruct them, we need to understand what is at the heart of it and help them understand, too, what's at the heart. So, you know, we know that children, first, let me just say, Yvette, that was my pet peeve. You just really grabbed something with me, because that was we all have our things that get under our skin. And that with me was the one that got under my skin, is that when I would be talking to another adult and one of my kids would interrupt our conversation. Mm-hmm. And so, but, you know, you think about it, you know, children, they have a natural bent towards selfishness and pride because, mm-hmm. like us, they are born sinners. And so children automatically place a higher priority on themselves than on others. And so they look at what they have to say as being more important than respecting that conversation of others. And so, you know, what happens is they all of a sudden have this thought, and then they have this sense of urgency that they want to express it immediately, which is the most important thing to them. And that leads to impatience, which leads to interrupting. So mm-hmm. from the heart, it all boils down to really selfishly placing their wants and needs above the wants and needs of others. And so say that, you know, they come up and you and I are talking and your daughter comes up and she interrupts. We want to ask some heart probing questions. It could just be like, you know, sweetheart, do you think it is kind or rude for you to interrupt while I'm talking to someone else? And, you know, are you thinking about others or yourself when you interrupt? And then as far as the biblical teaching there, we might say something from 1 Corinthians 13:4 or Philippians 2:3. And instead of just directly quoting scripture, we can do that, but we can also talk about it just in a comfortable and conversational manner and say something like, sweetheart, you know, the Bible explains that love is patient, love is kind, love is not rude. And God instructs us to do things not that are selfish, but instead that we're supposed to consider other people and their feelings as being more important than our own. And so that's the direction that we want to get them going. And so, and then, you know, you and I talked about that we always need to provide our children with a means of escape. Mm-hmm. And we want our children to know that we value their thoughts and their feelings, and we want to hear what they have to say. So it's going to exasperate a child just to tell them to never interrupt, because especially when two mommies are talking, it can seem like an eternity before there's a pause in that conversation. So we want to always provide them with a means of escape. And I think about 1 Corinthians 10:13 that says that when we, as God's children, that when we are tempted, God always provides us a way out. He always gives us a means of escape. Mm. And that goes back also to not just teaching our children what is wrong, but also training them in what is right. So we want to provide that means of escape. So what I did with my children when they would interrupt is I taught them to, when they wanted to say something to me and I'm engaged in a conversation with someone else, I taught them just to place their hand on my arm and to wait silently for me to give them permission to speak. And as soon as there was a pause in that conversation, I would give them permission to speak. That way, usually when they would put their hand on me, what they knew that what that communicates is, Mom, I need to say something, but I don't want to be rude. And while I would be talking, I would put my hand on top of theirs to let them know that I'm acknowledging that they have something they want to say and that I want to hear what they have to say. But we all want to do that in a way that shows respect for everyone. So as soon as there would be a pause in that conversation, then I would give them permission to speak. And so that's not, you know, it's not a biblical mandate that we have our children place their hand on our arm. It's just a tool. It's a way to prevent exasperation. It's a way to show respect for them the same way that we're wanting them to show respect for us.
Yeah, that's so powerful because, you know, I know you encourage that the Bible is the best instruction manual for parenting, but it doesn't specifically address interrupting. You know, the Bible doesn't say anywhere, thou shalt not interrupt. You know, these are the rules for children. Thou shalt not whine. But it, like you said, I mean, there's always a root cause for those things, whether it's lack of self-control or selfishness or, you know, pride or greed, whatever it is, there's always something that's causing them to react that way.
Right. And that's our job as parents. We need to understand that all behavior is linked to a particular attitude of the heart. So as parents that want to train our children in what is right and use biblical wisdom from God's word, we have to learn how to reach past that outward behavior and pull out what is going on in the heart. And then you better believe God's word addresses it because God is concerned with the issues of the heart.
Absolutely. He is. One of the things that you write in the book that I love is you write about, you know, why do they act like that? You know, our kids do something and oftentimes parents will say, why do they act like that? Why do they give me that look? Why did they just roll their eyes at me? And you say, that's the wrong question to ask, when our children misbehave. What do you mean by that? Why is that the wrong question to ask?
Well, I can relate to that question because when my kids were little, I used to be constantly shocked by some of the things that would come out of their mouths, whether it was whining or lying or talking back or whatever. I would typically, like most parents, I would look at them and ask that question, why do you act like that? But after a closer look at the Word of God, I realized that I was asking the wrong question. In Matthew 12:34, Jesus explained, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. In other words, there's merit to that old saying we've heard a million times, what's down in the well comes up in the bucket. And so our sin does not begin with our mouths. It begins with our hearts. The sin that shows up in our words comes from inside us, and it starts sooner than we might think. King David proclaimed, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. So when parents really grasp the origin of sin and just the overall total depravity of the human race, we no longer question why our children sin. So I slowly began to learn that I was asking the wrong question. I slowly began to learn to stop asking, why does my child sin? And instead, I began to ask myself, when my child sins, how might I point him to the fact that he is a sinner just like me in need of a savior? How might I help him understand and live in the transformational power of Christ?
Yeah, I have a really good friend. She's probably my longest childhood friend. We've been friends since like kindergarten, I think, or first grade, and have remained friends all our lives. And she has two daughters who are now grown. One's already in college and then two little ones. But I remember when Brooklyn was probably around 3 years old, maybe we had gone to her house and, you know, she was kind of in the tantrum phase and I was trying to work through that and trying to, you know, just rein her in and trying to train her heart. And, my friend Robin said to me, she goes, you know, when you are talking with her and correcting her, she said, you need to pray with her. And she said, say this, tell her, dear God, please help me to obey because I cannot obey without you. And we still do that with both of our girls. You know, oftentimes when we pray with them, we just lead them in that prayer of God, I can't do this without you. I am sinful and I am incapable of making the right choice without your power and without you. And so
that's great. That is such a powerful, powerful prayer. And they need to see us praying the same thing.
Oh, absolutely.
That God would help us, you know, that we would obey him in training them in what is right. I can't tell you how many times that I would go through ruts where I would just not be consistent in training my children the way that I should. I would find myself just ignoring things, letting things slide, or even just administering consequences instead of really taking the time to train them up. And in some of those times, you know, God would even use when I would blow it in those times. So I would go, you know, weeks without being consistent. And then God would convict me, and I would sit down with my kids and say, you know what? I need to ask your forgiveness because I have not been consistent in training you to obey and training you to do what's right. And you know, honey, I just love you too much to allow you mm-hmm. to disobey and to live foolishly. Yeah. And so will you forgive me? And then we would go back over the standard, go back over what's expected. And then we would start, you know, following through, and I would step back up. But my kids, instead of just doing that without helping them understand that I fail too, and that I have to go and I have to confess and I have to ask God to help me and empower me to live in a way that is pleasing to Him. So when I, even in the times that we fail, Yvette, those can be powerful teaching opportunities for us to demonstrate our personal relationship oh, sure. with Christ and what repentance and turning from sin and starting fresh looks like in our relationships with God.
Yeah, I love it. So you homeschooled your kids, right? Did you homeschool all the way kindergarten through 12th grade?
I did.
You did. Okay. And I mean, this is a homeschool podcast, of course. So one of the things that I love about your books and about just your wisdom in parenting is that through homeschooling, we have the opportunity to practice these things and to speak truth into the hearts of our children all day long. We don't have to undo the damage that may have been done to them in school, if they're in school and, you know, maybe being taught things that are contrary to God's word. Instead of spending time undoing those, we get to spend our time speaking into their hearts. What did that look like for you in your homeschool, you know, environment with your kids? And how has that turned out? I often wonder, you know, parents write books on parenting or marriage or, you know, something like that, especially parenting books when their kids are young, and then their kids grow up. And oftentimes I'm like, okay, did it work out for you? How are things going?
Right, right. Well, and that is the great thing about homeschooling is that we really do get to grab all of those opportunities because we are with them all day long. And so as sin creeps up, we are able to address it and to deal with it in that moment instead of, you know, having to wait until they get home from school or finding out what happened at school. You know, that's one of the most powerful things that we have the opportunity to train our children in the context of the moment. Mm-hmm. And that is when they really learn how to apply God's word to daily life, because teaching them in the context of the moment, that's when they're really going to learn how to apply God's word to daily life. And so as we can grab those opportunities, it's kind of like on the job training.
Yes.
You know, you learn better. You can learn from textbooks, but you really don't learn something well until you're actually doing it and putting it into practice.
Sure.
And so it's sort of like on the job training all day long. And when they put that knowledge gained into practice at that very moment, it's really going to stick better because they're learning how it applies in that moment
sure.
to their life and that particular situation. So that is one of the great things about homeschooling is that we're provided with those opportunities. But, you know, at the same time, we don't really get a break.
Right.
And so we could become weary in having to train them all day, every day. And we can quickly view it as a burden or a trial. Mm. But, you know, we're told to consider it pure joy whenever we face trials of many kinds, because we know that the testing of our faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything.
Yes. Yes. I have often thought about how many opportunities I would miss out on with training my kids and just being able to spend time with them if they were in a traditional school all day long. And like you said, it can get tiresome sometimes. And, you know, there are days when I'm like, I need to go for a drive. I need to get out. I need to breathe. I need to, you know, just have some mommy time. If that means, you know, just going for a walk around the park or whatever that looks like. But gosh, I'm so thankful for the time that I get. And, you know, when they're away from you, you know, and this could be, you know, at church or, you know, sporting events or whatever, when they're away from us, we usually don't know what's going on. It's not like they're going to come home and say, "Hey mom, this is the sin I dealt with today. Can you please train my heart?" You know,
right. That's right.
We're going to miss so many opportunities. And with being able to homeschool, I love that most of those opportunities are not missed. And we get to help them firsthand experience, you know, truth and the love of God through our parenting. So, thank you so much, Ginger. I love you. I am so grateful for our friendship and just for what God continues to do through you. We are excited. We actually got to interview you for Schoolhouse Rocked. And so we're super excited to have you as part of that. And I appreciate your support and encouragement with the movie and all that God is doing through the ministry of Schoolhouse Rocked, because you have been such a blessing to me. And you have very much helped shape me into the parent that I am. And I shouldn't say just me. I do co-parent. I do have a husband and he parents with me, but, you know, he's always very good about when I say, you know, well, what about this? I read this in Ginger's book. I read this in scripture. And, you know, what do you think about this parenting method? And, you know, like you said, ultimately the Bible is the instruction manual for parenting. There is not a book on the planet that is more important than God's word, but it certainly is helpful to have excellent books that God has provided us with, you know, that can help shape us and encourage us as parents. So thank you for your ministry and for all that you do.
Oh, thank you, Yvette. And I'll tell you, I have such a tremendous respect for the ministry that you guys have and what you're doing with Schoolhouse Rock. And it's just such a blessing and a huge privilege to get to be even just a tiny, small part of that. And I, too, am just so thankful for the friendship that God has given us. You know, you were just one of those people that I meet so many people. But you were just one of those people that I just immediately clicked with. And we were kindred spirits and just knew that we were destined to be friends.
Yes.
So you've been such a blessing and encouragement in my life, too. And I'm very thankful for that.
Oh, thank you so much. So, all right. Well, love you, friend. Thanks for being on today, and we'll have you on again.
Sounds great. Thanks,
okay.
Yvette.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you for taking time to listen to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I hope it's been a great encouragement to you. If you believe in homeschooling, please consider supporting the ministry of Schoolhouse Rocked. Visit schoolhouserocked.com to learn more. You also can become a Backstage Pass member. Backstage Pass members have access to interviews from the movie, lots of bonus material, and extended content from the podcast. Again, visit schoolhouserocked.com to learn more.